Geek Radio Daily for Weekend Event.
Goodbye, September.
We hardly knew you. Oh,
that's right. I feel like I'm supposed to call the guys from Green Day about something.
Oh, the Muffins. That's right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the 30th of September. We're the fine folks at GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that has every perfect response whenever asked a question in a Zoom meeting. How does he put up with it? You'll never know. Or you might. That's podcast with Rich Siegfried.
There's nothing more dangerous to a warrior than emotion.
And that's why he just cuts that off right at the hip.
Yeah, baby!
And me, I'm the guy that says the same thing everywhere he goes. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I don't have to take this abuse from you. I got hundreds of people dying to abuse me.
Just lined up down the streets. What happened this fine day, sir?
In 1882, the world's first commercial hydroelectric power plant, later known as Appleton Edison Light Company, begins operation on the Fox River in Appleton, Wisconsin.
1888, Jack the Ripper emerged once again from the shadows of London's East End to prey on his favorite target, female prostitutes. Elizabeth Stride and Catherine Eddowes were brutally attacked and murdered within an hour in what became known as the Double Event.
My God, I've never seen so many dead prostitutes before.
God knows I have.
In honor of Norm, come on now. In 1889, the Bundy Manufacturing Company, a maker of time recording equipment, is incorporated. First of many components that eventually become the Computing Tabulating Recording Company, Incorporated, or CTR, which will later become International Business Machines Corporation, or, well, IBM.
1890, Thomas Edison is granted a patent for telegraphy, a phonograph recorder, a method of making phonograph blanks, and propelling device for electrical cars, and a phonogram blank, because that one was great. They needed to do it twice.
1915, a memorandum from David Sarnoff, contracts manager of RCA, to Edward J. Nolly, vice president and general manager of the Marconi Wireless Telegraph Company of America, proposes the idea of a radio music box as a multi-frequency radio receiver that would become a household utility. This may be the first conception of the radio that will later be commonly used in households and cars.
That one had a lot of commercials, too. 1929, an early manned rocket-powered flight is made by German automaker Franz von Opel. His Sandeck Rack 1 is a glider powered by 60-pound thrust rockets. In it, Opel makes a successful flight of 75 seconds, spanning nearly 2 miles near Frankfurt am Main, Germany.
1940, John Mauchly writes to John Atanasoff suggesting a cooperative effort to develop the first electronic computer. The offer will be declined, and the two will later enter into a bitter dispute as to who will receive credit for the creation of the first computer. Eventually, the matter will be taken to court, where a judge will rule in favor of Dr. Atanasoff.
1948, the FCC freezes all television broadcast license applications pending further study of technical developments, most notably the development of color transmissions. Interference between adjacent stations' transmitters has become a major issue. Stop bleeding over, Sal.
In 1954, the world's first submarine with a nuclear reactor, the USS Nautilus, is commissioned by the U.S. Navy at Groton, Connecticut.
1969, RCA demonstrates the holotape video playback system before its audio component had yet been completed. It'll later become the first to bear the name Selectivision, but was abandoned by RCA 3 years later in favor of magnetic tape technology. You know, like the VCR.
1982, H. Ross Perot, yes, that one, and Jay Colburn complete the first circumnavigation of the world in a helicopter, a model Bell 206 Jet Ranger called the Spirit of Texas.
Same day, same year, cyanide laced Tylenol kills 6 people in the Chicago area, 7 are killed in all, and would you believe there didn't used to be something sealing the bottle of aspirin? Can you believe that?
1998, Pokemon Red and Blue debut in North America, killing at least 8.
1999, Amazon.com opens Z-Shops and adds 500,000 products in an online mall environment.
Also, the Cleveland Freenet closes down permanently. One of the world's oldest and longest-running Atari forums, the Atari SIG, had worked within the framework of the Freenet and is shut down alongside the network.
Nintendo announced it's been awarded a United States patent for its in-flight video game system, which allows airline passengers to play video games hosted by participating airlines while traveling. So, they invented the streaming game system?
2001, the television series Alias, created by J.J. Abrams and starring Jennifer Garner, premieres on the ABC network with the episode Truth Be Told. The series, of course, introduced many of us to Bradley Cooper, who is known as the Ugly One.
2003, Microsoft releases Halo Combat Evolved for personal computers in the U.S. That was such a great day.
Same day, same year, Universal Pictures releases a science fiction action film that most people forgot ever existed, Time Cop 2, The Berlin Decision. Directed by Steve Boyum and starring Jason Scott Lee, Thomas Ian Griffith, direct to video.
What? Not a big national campaign? 2004, Windows discontinued support of Windows XP operating system without releasing a final service pack. You know, that computer you have at work.
2005, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signs a bill into law that makes phishing a civil offense, leaving violators liable for actual damages or $500,000 per violation, whichever is greater. He then, of course, proceeded to call them girly men.
Same day, same year, Universal Pictures releases the science fiction film Serenity, directed by Joss Whedon, starring Nathan Fillion, Summer Glau, you know, based on the Firefly TV series, and had that one moment that made us all go, what?
Such a good movie. And in 2026, Weyland acquires the world.
But where will he keep it? Birthdays?
Ezra Miller is 29. From Perks of Being a Wallflower, Trainwreck, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and of course his Flash in the DCU movies.
Lacey Chabray is 39, Party of Five, Wild Thornberries, the original Meg on Family Guy, Lost in Space, Mean Girls.
Jenna Elfman is 50. From Dharma and Greg, Looney Tunes Back in Action, Gross Point Blank, Krippendorf's Tribe, and is a bit nutty.
Tony Hale is 51 from Arrested Development, Chuck, Veep, Toy Story 4, Harley Quinn.
He's a fantastic actor. Like, he pops up in a lot of different... He was also in the Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events series.
Yes, he was.
Was really good in that. The very lovely and talented Monica Bellucci is 57. From Matrix Reloaded / Revolutions, Passion of the Christ, Spectre... I believe she was a Bond girl in one of the cold opens, and I'm really hoping she returns for Matrix.
Eric Stoltz is 60 from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. The original Marty McFly, The Mask, not the one with Jim Carrey, The Fly 2, Pulp Fiction.
Fran Drescher is 64 from Cadillac Man, The Nanny, and UHF. Oh, I believe she was also in Dr. Detroit.
Oh my God, that is right. Barry Williams is 67. Greg and the Brady Bunch, the Brady Kids, the Brady Bunch Hour, Mega Piranha. One of those things is not like the other.
Yeah, Brady Kids was a bloodbath. Fran Brill is 75. Zoe on Sesame Street, Being There, and What About Bob?
Lynn Carew is 82. The original Sweeney Todd, Blue Bloods.
Angie Dickinson is 90. Promotions 11, Police Woman, Big Bad Mama, and Dress to Kill.
They showed Big Bad Mama a lot on the movie channel in the 80s. No longer with us, born in the state in 1832, Ann Jarvis, American activist, co-founded Mother's Day.
The movie or 1861, William Wrigley Jr., American businessman, founded the Junior Company.
1924, Truman Capote was in Murder by Death, but wrote Breakfast at Tiffany's, wrote in Cold Blood, and they ripped off his voice for that first hut in the Star Wars Clone Wars movie. It was weird.
God, that's right. On CBS, we've got a rerun of Young Sheldon, another rerun of Young Sheldon, then The Price is Right special.
ABC, a new Station 19, Grey's Anatomy, and then Jenny accepts Sheriff Tubbs' offer to rejoin the force, and Cassie busies herself with work at Duell and Hoyt, but a strange accident brings Jenny and Cassie together again. Ronald finds himself trapped by something he cannot get out of on a new Big Sky.
NBC has a new L&O Taboo, and then L&O Organized Crime.
Fox has a rerun of The Big Leap and Our Kind of People.
CW, Jenny and Clark are forced to work together in the world of narcotics and therapy to solve the mystery of the corpse of an unidentified man. What? On a new The Corner, and as well as an episode of Outpost.
Freeform showing The Lion King, the animated one, so don't freak out about the animals.
AMC is unstoppable. That's why they're showing the movie. Unstoppable.
FX, an ancient beast escapes and threatens the existence of all vampires everywhere on a new What We Do in the Shadows.
FXX Simpsons has three dreams denied.
FXM, Mike and Dave need wedding dates and tips on how to talk to women, I imagine.
ABC America has the classic British movie Star Trek.
I love that one. Sci-Fi Channel, Friday the 13th, followed by Friday the 13th Part 2 with the greatest final girl in slasher film history.
CBS has a new Wipeout.
TNT Solo, a Star Wars story that's quiet.
True TV has The Big Chill on Tacoma FD.
Really? They've got a dead Kevin Costner? Science Channel, Murder Raid Tunnels on a new Underground Marvels. And tonight on the Lifetime Movie Network, Melanie and her young teenage daughter ready for a fresh start after a tough year. Hannah, a budding pianist, eager to fit in her new school, but popular kids don't want her and she feels like an outcast. Things start to spiral out of control when someone hacks her phone and leaks her private photos. And despite some counseling, the constant bullying gets tough for Hannah and her mom. Worries when a stranger starts stalking her. It's too much! But danger lies much closer than anyone thought. Jenna Rose now and Emily Topper star in Nobody Will Believe You.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your further adventures of Chad and Abby update. Charlotte reads a mysterious article about kissing and meets someone at the high school dance. A fortune teller offers to help another kid with some magical lipstick tips to make the females want to kiss him. All of this is brought to Chad's attention, but he doesn't believe it till it works for him as well. What a time for Abby to walk by. Later at the local carnival, the Weston kids chase down the dream and succeed until they meet the deceiving fortune teller. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Why, no, there's not. And hey, Mark, you should listen carefully to this. So far this week, we haven't got one correct guess as to where Chad and Abby are. Syrinx, right now, you have a record going. Let's see how long that lasts. If you'd like to break his heart, drop a note and tell us where they are by sending it to podcast@geekradiodaily.com or, of course, a voicemail, a text message saying that or anything else in your lovely little brain. Use the numbers.
510-GRD-CRO.
Don't go breaking Mark's heart.
Hi, my name is Terry J. Ammon, host of Video Fuzzy, the podcast Confessions of a Media Pack Rat with thousands of VHS to DVD transfers and no idea what's on them. I'm cataloging furiously, however, and every 2 weeks I'll update you with what I've been finding in my classic recordings, my current recordings, and what I've been watching, sifting this basket of media memories. With a media collection stretching back to the 80s, this will take a while, but just hang on, we'll get through this together. For Video Fuzzy, I'm Terry J. Ammon. Happy viewing.
It might be amazing. It might just be scuzzy. We'll find out together on Video Fuzzy Media.
Hi, I'm James Kahn, semi-renowned writer, musician, doctor, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
I need to find out what the exact actual threshold for semi-renowned doctor is, because I think I could get pretty damned close.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Oh, that's the one, right, Anna? Hey, what games can we play this week?
Well, we've got Hot Wheels Unleashed, the racing game featuring licensed toy cars, available for the PC.
Finally, Astria Ascending, a turn-based RPG written by Kasujigi Nojima from Final Fantasy VII, composed by Hitoshi Sakamoto from Final Fantasy Tactics for the PC.
We've also got Melty Blood, Type Lumina. That's a Tsukishimi-based fighting game series. Melty Blood returns after a lengthy absence. Available for the Switch, PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
You're always asking me when there was going to be another one. Imposter Factory, a bonkers time loop, tragic comedy murder mystery thriller featuring a suspicious cat. From Ken Gao, creator of To the Moon for the PC.
As Divine Saga, or As Divine, I'm not sure. Uncover the evil machinations behind the Warring Kingdom in a fantasy RPG, available for the PC.
Unsighted. I can't see what that's about. It's a 2D action game, Switch, PC, PS4, Xbox One.
Aeon Drive, a cyberpunk action platformer set in Neo-Barcelona, following Jacqueline, a space ranger from another dimension trying to find a way home. It's available for the PC.
Magical Night Dreams. Cotton 2, the true sequel to Cotton. Cotton 2 introduces Cotton's rival, Apley, for two-player support for the first time, and the story this time deals with the disappearance of the magic Blue Walter Willow from the Kingdom's treasury. Cotton and Apley must now search the lands for the magic Willow, battling all the enemies they encounter in the way before it's too late for the Switch and the PS4.
And in what is called, by many people, a bold strategy, Magical Night Dreams Cotton Boomerang. It's a bullet hell game in the Cotton series, originally released in 1998 for the Sega Saturn. It's now available for the Switch and PS4.
That's not the true sequel. Guardian Force, a tank-themed shoot-em-up game released for the Sega Saturn in 98, brought to arcades when those were a thing for the Switch and the PS4.
FIFA 22, EA Sports' next entry in its long-running Fertilizer Industry Federation of Australia franchise, arrives for the 21-22 seasons. PC, and I'm sure other stuff.
Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania, a collection of Super Monkey Ball remasters for the Switch.
We've also got Jet, the Far Shore. It's a new title from Super Brothers, following a civilization in search of a new home planet. It's available for the PC.
Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, a fighting game featuring famous Nickelodeon cartoon characters and some folks you might not expect, for the Switch, the PC, the PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X/S.
And BPM, Bullets Per Minute. It's a first-person rhythm action game developed by AWE Interactive, and it's available for the PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
I've long said my rhythm action games need to be first person.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Arthur Jordan Ifueko's Ray Bearer, a West African-inspired young adult fantasy novel, is getting adapted for television at Netflix.
So it's a love story about Lil Coney Sheev and his woman running a junk shop?
Gina Atwater from Westworld Star Wars Force Awakens is bringing the project as part of her multi-year deal with Netflix. Her aim is to bring series and features that put traditionally underrepresented characters front and center. Ray Bearer is the first project and is produced by Sugar 23, Dickinson, and Marco Television Studios. Sorry to bother you.
In fairness, Ray's mom was very underrepresented.
Ray Bearer is about Teresa, who has always longed for the warmth of family. She was raised in isolation by a mysterious, often absent mother known only as
The Lady. The Lady
sends her to the capital of the global empire of Aristar, based on the game, I guess, to compete with other children to be chosen one at the Crown Prince's Council of 11. If picked, she'll join with the other council members through the Ray, a bond deeper than blood, their closeness irresistible, and always, she's always wanted to be somewhere. But the Lady has other ideas, including a magical wish for her daughter. She is compelled to obey. Kill the crown prince once she gains his trust. Now, Teresa won't stand by and become someone's pawn, but she is strong enough. But is she strong enough to choose a different path for herself?
Wait, so they formed the Q Continuum? I mean, Ray was powerful, but not a nigh omnipotent and immortal non-corporeal entity.
The story is known for the intrigue. Ifueko weaves into the story about chosen and not chosen family in a rich fantasy world, which is deep enough to build a series on just with the first book alone. But the sequel, Redemptor, could give Netflix over a decade's worth of seasons, which is certainly a lot of Ray to Bearer.
After delay thanks to COVID, because it's real, Super Nintendo World opened at Universal Studios Japan in Osaka earlier this March. Yet the theme park area is already set to get its first expansion. Opening in 2024, it'll be Donkey Kong themed and will increase the size of Super Nintendo World by about 70%.
God, I hope this means I can finally get the Stanley Super Sprayer I've always wanted.
According to the official release, the new area will bring to life the jungles where Donkey Kong and his friends live. It will include a roller coaster and interactive attractions, while visitors will be able to buy themed food and purchase merchandise. Keep in mind, the area around Universal Studios Japan is not lush jungles, but, well, urban sprawl.
If that roller coaster is not a minecart ride, I am going to be cranky.
Shigeru Miyamoto, creator of Donkey Kong, is teaming up with the Universal Studios team to design the new area. I am very happy to be able to make the world of Donkey Kong a reality following the world of Mario, said Miyamoto. I am looking forward to creating a thrilling Donkey Kong experience with the amazing team at Universal. It will take some time until it is completed, but it will be a unique area for not only guests who are familiar with Donkey Kong games, but for all guests.
Buckner and Garcia will be singing at the ribbon-cutting ceremony.
The opening of Super Nintendo World was delayed due to COVID-19, as mentioned before, and Osaka has been under repeated states of emergency throughout this year. However, with declining COVID-19 cases and increased vaccinations, the Japanese government will let the current state of emergency expire today. But don't be nervous that the state of emergency is ending. Be nervous you could get stuck in a ride with the Donkey Kong 64 rap on a loop.
Last year, a music industry crackdown on Twitch resulted in copyrighted strikes and a mass deletion of videos as the National Music Publishers Association, NMPA, sought to cut down on streamers playing licensed music. Twitch has now made a deal with NMPA, but for streamers, it's not exactly a game-changing thing.
Will it bring back Twitch sings? That's all we want to know.
Sadly, no. An email went out to streamers explaining the terms of the deal and what it would mean for them and their use of music. We're excited to announce that we've entered into an agreement with NMPA to build productive partnerships between Twitch and the music publishers. As part of this agreement, we want to let you know about a new process that we are creating that participating music rights holders can opt into to report certain uses of their music, which is more flexible and forgiving to creators who inadvertently or incidentally use music in their streams than the existing process required under the DMCA and similar global laws.
So no clear-cut standards and all a judgment call. Now, how Twitch of them?
At a high level, the new process, which is distinct from the DMCA, focuses on going forward with flagrant uses of music and starts with a warning instead of penalties. Now, when a participating rights holder reports the use of unauthorized music on a creator's channel, Twitch may also issue a warning or penalty depending on the creator's history of that kind of music use.
Type of music? So all ska would make everyone happy.
Hell yeah. This is hardly a win for streamers, since the only change on their end is a warning before the same drastic steps are taken. But the music industry is obviously happy enough, which is all that matters, as this was never really about streamers in the first place. Twitch's crackdown on licensed music was done to protect Amazon's service as a platform, and so this deal was never going to be about making things easier for users to play licensed music, since it was primarily just to cover Twitch's own ass. As is the rule, like not showing the visible outline of genitals, even if it's covered, and cleavage is right out. Well, in I mean.
Depends on who you are, really. Neopets. Remember those? Neopets. Well, the developers recently revealed on their website that they are creating NFTs for over 20,000 customized pets, all in partnership with several blockchain companies. So far, the public response from past and present community members has been overwhelmingly negative.
NFTs? What, so the Neopets can just shit on the world's lawn?
Neopets is a pet adoptable website where users can play mini-games, collect virtual items, and join friend communities. At the height of its popularity, Neopets had over 25 million users, with 80% of them being minors. An entire generation of web kids spent a significant part of their childhood on Neopets, which is why they're not happy to see its developers hand over the beloved IP to cryptocurrency investors.
Well, I mean, is virtual currency really any different?
How dare you? Non-fungible tokens, commonly known as NFTs, meanwhile, are cryptocurrency tokens that represent a piece of digital art, which is not great for the environment. See, a digital image of a cat had the carbon footprint of an EU resident's electricity usage for 2 months. When sold in bulk, NFTs can have even vaster environmental consequences. The environmental organization Sierra Club claims that a year of carbon output from Bitcoin, one of the most popular cryptocurrencies, equaled the annual footprint of New Zealand.
And those are hobbit-sized.
Earlier this year, Neopets had an issue with black market hackers stealing regular pets from website users. Neopets had also previously attempted an NFT game called Neopets Crypto Quest in 2018. A player could purchase virtual card packs that would be redeemable for prizes. The game was eventually retired within a year. And let's be honest, Neopet popularity is, to put it nicely, dwindling. Did you even remember that they were a thing? Like, it's just a matter of time before they're the next Tamagotchi, Gigapets, or even Nano Kitty. I've heard of two of those.
If you are an old school manga and NES fan, GoGo 13 has a special place in your memory, and sadly, we have to report that the creator, Takeo Saito, has passed away from pancreatic cancer at the age of 84.
I want to go Duke Togo on effin' cancer.
GoGo 13 is the second biggest selling manga series of all time, between One Piece at number 1 and Dragon Ball at number 3. Debuted in Big Comics in 68, has been in serialization ever since, making it the oldest manga in publication.
Never mind about that. Just be sure to meet me at the usual spot in 2 weeks, and make damn sure you bring the cruiser.
When Saito was coming up in the late 1950s, early 60s, he and his contemporaries took a stand against the term manga, which is commonly used to categorize GoGo 13. The word evoked cartoony, cute characters, kid stuff, they argued. Manga was anti-ethical to Saito's style.
Well, the health regeneration levels of the NES game prove it's not kid stuff.
Starting in the 1980s, GoGo 13 was translated into English, something that Saito was initially against because even though the main character, Duke Togo, was a modern gun-toting hitman, he was deeply influenced by samurai. But thank you, sir, for letting it happen, because we have enjoyed the adventures, and we are very, very glad you took the job. GRD is licensed in the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Something everyone enjoys. And seriously, if you've got the slightest idea where Chad and Abby are, because we've had like 2 days in a row, I think, of people not knowing, but 3 going on 4, this, because it was nothing this morning, so this is kind of weird. And again, it's going to make Mark cry, so come on. Send a note. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or of course, a voicemail, text, message, use the magic numbers.
510-GRD.
I've already forgot what the hell the show even is. It's tough.
Like you should be in a cage.
That was lame.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
Scat. Skedaddle. Adios. Arrivederci. Ciao. Aloha. Fuck off.
Here we go.
The finally here. Performance for you. If you know the words. Excellent tail. His coconut gun can fire in spurts. If he shoots ya, it's gonna hurt. He's bigger, faster, and stronger.